across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Nine 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give it. Whoa, what the hell is going on? Those mamas and the papas are so high on drugs. They go straight into the same song immediately after they have finished that song. That's how high the mamas and the papas are, even 50 years after that song was released. The Late Night Alternative, I'm Ian Lee.
Catherine Boyle.
And that's pretty much all you need to know. The telephone number, he said, proceeding to give you more information, is 03444991000 03444991000 free for most of you to call in, pennies at the most, but generally it's free with most packages. You can call in about absolutely anything that you want. You'll speak to Sam, he'll take your name and number, and we'll give you a call straight back, dear listener. It's Friday. We made it to the end of another week. Who'd have thunk it? We're here, we're alive, I've not really got anything for the show tonight. You know what I mean? It takes a while sometimes for the vibe to be created, but the vibe is coming. The vibe is on its way. I've ordered plenty of vibe, and it's on its way.
I'm sitting on a nest full of vibe, I'm just waiting for it to hatch.
There we go.
Ooh, delicious.
Let's wait for a call. Let's wait for a call. I think we need a call. We need a call to set the tone of the show. Whatever the first call is, whomsoever the first call is, will set the tone of the show this evening. I can just feel it. There's something. It's been a very strange week for the radio show. Very strange. Dark vibes. Uncomfortable vibes. Aggressive vibes, and I think we're on a journey as a show, as listeners. There's a call. I'm taking it. This is it. This is the tone for the rest of the show. Good evening, caller. You are live on the air.
Oh goodness, I wasn't expecting that.
It's happened.
This is my first time listening live.
Yo, this is great. I knew it. Something is in the air tonight. What is your name, sir?
My name, sir, is Hannah.
Hannah! Okay, Hannah. It's your... Hang on a minute. You are... welcome. You're on the air. I'm Ian. Catherine's over there.
Hello, Hannah.
This is unusual behaviour, Hannah, because this is...
In what way?
Well, your first time listening live. So what, you've heard the podcasts before, have you?
Yes, I've listened to the podcast right back from when they started. I think I'm up to the Pancake Day episode.
Pancake
Blimey,
Day?
I don't even remember that.
Oh, mate, you wait until...
Okay, so Dredge called him with a song about Pancake Day.
Oh, yeah, that's scumbag.
All right.
You wait till you get to the Himalayas.
It was a bit...
Not the Himalayas, the Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
You wait till you get to Stonehenge, then you're in.
Oh, I can't wait.
But this is the first time you've ever listened live.
I bought a digital radio especially to listen to the show.
Oh, this is... Hannah is my kind of gal. I feel bad for cheekily referring to her as a gentleman. Obviously, she's a lady of much taste.
No, that's fine. I'm fine with genders being all over the show.
But, so, hang on. So, your first time you're listening live, and you phoned in the first couple of minutes? What is... Are you high?
She's so very bold.
You are very bold.
I'm completely stone cold sober.
Okay.
But I'm just so excited to listen live. And so, I've bought this radio, but the signal's atrocious. Oh. I'm standing in, like, the one tiny place in my flat where I can pick up signals.
Well, you could... I mean, what, the signal on the radio is atrocious, or your phone?
I think it... No, not my phone. My phone's fine. I think the radio I've bought is really rubbish.
Well, you know you can listen to us live on your phone.
I realised this today while I was trying to set up the new radio.
How much did you spend on this piece of crap?
It was £24.
Okay.
That says it all.
Well, that would explain why the signal is...
And it was from eBay as well.
Oh, matey.
Oh, no. Cuts and corners.
Well, okay. Well, you can get the app, or there's loads of different radio apps that you can listen to on your phone if it's going in and out. Here's the thing, right? You've now, yes. Hannah, you have now put the pressure on us, right? Because this is the first time you've listened live. And so yes. hopefully you're going to stick with us for the whole 3 hours. And at the end of that, I want you to go, wow, listening to the full 3 hours live is so much better than listening to a 40-minute best of. What I'm worried is, at the end of it, you go, flipping heck, I can see why the podcast is only 40 minutes long. There's a lot of chaff amongst that slightly ropey wheat. So we have got to pull out the stops. I haven't got anything for the show tonight.
Oh, wow. OK.
Well, what I have
now
was...
I feel like there's pressure on me.
Oh, too right. I ain't taking that pressure, baby. I'm giving it back to you. So, here's the thing, right? I had a prediction when we started the show. I had a prediction that the first call would somehow shape the rest of the show, would somehow set the tone, would somehow provide the conversation. Is there anything... And just think... Just think for a second. Oh, remind me to tell you about when I hypnotised my kid today.
Oh.
Yeah. It was funny. Right. Is it just relax, Hannah. Just go to your pineal gland, your third eye.
Yeah.
And just, is there something lurking in there that you feel you need to get out? It could be anything.
I did call for a reason.
You did?
I did. It's a semi-serious one, so I don't know if the tone is right
the tone now. The tone is perfect, Hannah. The tone is perfect.
Is it so right? Okay.
Go for it. This is
it. Well, I was going to say, because I've now caught up on the majority of the podcast.
Yep.
She wouldn't call herself an alcoholic, but my mum's an alcoholic.
Of course
basically.
She wouldn't. Of course she wouldn't. That's the tough bit. Yeah, go on.
So I'm 30 and she started having real issues when she was like, well, when I was 15.
Yeah.
And I was sort of her sole carer. And that was about the time I was doing GCSEs as well. So that was a really tough time because I was trying to look after my little brother too.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it was cool. So I missed a lot of my education, had like some mental health problems of my own, had eating disorder. I was really bullied in school, all this. And so I think there's a misconception that like people with addiction or dealing with addiction are kind of, I don't know, selfish, or it's almost like they're choosing to go down that
route. Well, I personally would say that it is a very selfish disease. And I think within that disease, addicts, they're very selfish because the only thing that matters to them is whatever they get off on, whether it's drugs or booze or sex or whatever it is, right? But they have no choice in getting that disease. It's like saying someone who's got cancer has got a choice in getting cancer. They haven't.
Precisely.
But I think it is a selfish disease by its very nature.
Sure. So how I try and look at it is I think that you can't help. I mean, I think about my own mental health in this way. You can't help what you get, but if you look at any other illness, say if someone had asthma and whenever you're around them they were having an asthma attack but they would refuse to use an inhaler or something, you'd end up getting pretty irritated with that and you'd want them to take a bit of responsibility and access some help. So I think it's really noble that you've worked so hard to deal with this, because as someone that's been through it as a child of a parent with these kind of problems, and I've had to call the ambulance on my mum and with the cleanup operation and miss exams at school the next day because I didn't sleep and stuff like that.
I just
think it's so inspiring and amazing that you're working so hard to be a fantastic parent to your two boys, and that's really inspired me listening to the podcast.
Thank you, Hannah. I wasn't expecting it to turn that corner. Thank you.
That's okay.
So how is mum now?
She's prone to the odd relapse, like everyone else is. Generally, she's doing really well. She's had a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder, which I think is an antiquated term now, but that's what her doctor said.
Yeah.
And she's on the medication. She's had some talking therapy. And generally, she's doing really, really well.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. That's
I've got a good relationship with her now.
Good.
Can I ask you a question, Hannah? Who's looking out for you?
Well, so I'm 30 now, and I've kind of been through the ringer a little bit in terms of everything, but probably about 2 years ago, the place where I work has got a really good program for all of us, because I do research with young people around mental health and stuff, so we deal with some quite hard-hitting stuff, and they've got like a counselling programme in place for all of us.
Brilliant.
And they actually paid for me to have 18 months of talking therapy.
Dude, 18 months?
That is such an important thing.
Luxury, that's great. That is incredible. What a position to be in.
It was fantastic, yeah. And so, I mean, this is another purpose for calling, because I hear a lot of the time on the podcast the listeners that are calling from a really dark place.
Yeah.
And I think I would like to say, where possible, like, I have gone through quite a lot. I'm in the position now where I've got a stable job. I've got some access to work, like, rights, I guess, in place where my work has made, like, adjustments for how I can work. I bought my flat last year, just before I turned 30, and that was all with my own savings. I've got, because I'd been sort of prone to, when my mum was having real drinking issues, I would do anything to try and escape. So I'd get into like abusive relationships and stuff. I've now got a really sensible, stable relationship.
Hey, what a turnaround.
I really wanted to share that. I go on a holiday by myself every now and then.
All right. Now you're just showing off. Now she's showing off. What turnaround from the 15-year-old who was struggling to do her GCSEs because, you know, mum wasn't being fair. Hey, can I share something with you? Did you
No.
Did you see? You know, there's like this cyclone going on in India. There's a cyclone going on in India, right? And it's called called Cyclone Fanny, right?
I shouldn't laugh at that.
And here you go. We were watching, we had BBC News on, and they were talking about Cyclone Fanny. Did you see this, Sam? And the caption came up on the screen, Cyclone Fanny batters India. Cyclone Fanny batters India. I mean, come on. I've tweeted it. That's a genuine headline on the BBC, Cyclone Fanny batters India. Hannah, you think you've got problems? Hey, listen, thank you so much for listening live, and thank you so much for being the first call. You have sown the seed for the show tonight. It's going to be a good, positive show because of you, Hannah, so thank you for that.
Yay! Yay! Can I ask a favour?
Oh, here we go. They always turn. Here we go. Yeah, of course you can. Go on.
I wondered if I could get tickled by Sam.
Oh! Sam, I mean, she's very forward, Sam. Listen, you can say no if you'd rather.
It's not our position to say yes. Sam, would you like to tickle Hannah?
Of course, I'm happy to oblige.
Away you go.
Are you ready, Hannah?
Yeah!
Thank you, Hannah. Goodbye. What a strange request. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000. We've got some young callers. We're going to do a couple of young callers now. Okay? We're okay with that? Good. I'm glad we're okay with that. I enjoyed that call with Hannah. Let's go to Dylan first of all. Jack, you're coming up next, brother, I promise. Dylan!
Hello.
Hey, Dylan, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm good, Dylan. Now, here's one of my skills. I don't know if you've listened to the show before. I am excellent, excellent at guessing people's ages. Would you allow me to try and guess your age, please?
Yeah.
You're 18 years old.
No.
Okay, don't tell me. Give me a clue. Older or younger?
Younger.
Younger. Three.
No.
Older or younger?
Little bit older.
Clue. Seven.
No.
Six.
No.
Five.
No.
Four. Boom. 4 years old. Dylan, welcome to the show. You should be in bed at 4 years. How old are you, Dylan?
11 years old.
You should have, when I got to seven, you should have said higher. You should have said higher, young man. How you doing, Dylan? You're right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
What you got this weekend? Tell me what you're doing this weekend, please, young man. Doing anything? Playing a bit of Fortnite?
Nah.
Good. Gonna go and see the new Avengers movie?
No.
Good. Gonna eat anything?
Yeah.
There you go. Sounds like a great weekend to me. What can we do for you tonight, Dylan? Someone's getting fed some lines from Mum, I think. Is that Mum whispering to you in the background?
No.
Who's that? Who's in the background?
No one.
No one's there?
No.
Who's... have you got permission to use the phone?
Yes.
These are incredible scenes. Is there anything we can do for you, Dylan? Hey, what's wrong, man? Oh, man, what's wrong?
Oh, God.
What's wrong? Is it something bad?
No.
Is it something good?
I just can't believe I'm talking to you.
Hey, come on, you silly sausage. Yeah, you're talking to me. Would you rather be talking to Catherine? Is that what you're saying? Is that why you're upset? Because you prefer Catherine over me.
Of course he doesn't.
Nah, I like you more.
Okay. Hey, there we go. You're the only one, Dylan, but, you know, every single one counts. Well, yeah, you don't listen to this show on a regular basis, do you? Because it's quite rude.
Sometimes, yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, I see. Well, we'll have to watch the bad language because we don't want any more bad language. Well, did you phone up for a reason, Dylan? Did you have anything you wanted to say or anything you wanted to ask me, or did you just want to say hello?
So, you know Catherine?
I know Catherine, yes, unfortunately. You know what I mean, lads? Yes, I know Catherine, yes.
My mom texted her, tweeted.
Your mum tweeted at Catherine?
Tweeted. Catherine.
Yes. Saying what? Oh, now, I might have seen this. What did she say?
Oh.
Oh, I think I know. You wanted to know... Were you the person who wanted to know why there weren't any kids' T-shirts?
Yeah.
There we go. And did you see what I wrote back?
Yeah.
Give it 10 years and then you could buy
one.
No,
I didn't. Oh. I said that Scott Balcony is a wizard and he can make whatever you want.
He can. Has your mum been in touch with Scott Balcony? Or whomsoever the responsible adult in your charge is. Has she been in touch with Balcony Shirts? We finish at one. Get her, whoever it was that tweeted us, to message Balcony Shirts. He will do it. He's able to do it. They're just not listed on the website because I think it would be a little bit too tricky to put them on the website. Mm-hmm. But he will be able to do it for you.
And do you know how I know that, Dylan? Because my kids have got them too.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be able to do it. It might be I think he's off for the next few days because it's his birthday and it's a bank holiday on Monday. But if your mum messages him, I would say Tuesday, you can sort it out, all right?
Okay.
All right, man. Listen, have a nice weekend, Dylan. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. What a nice guy. Sorry, I was really trying not to burp when he was on.
I don't think he would have minded.
Well, it's in a props. Right, we got Andrew, we got Damo, we got John. But before we go to any of those, let's go to my good friend, buddy of the show. Let's go to Jack. Evening, Jack.
Yes, hello.
Jack, do you know any songs with the name Jack in?
Jack in the Box.
Who's that by?
I have no idea.
Well, it's not a song. Do you know the song Happy Jack by The Who?
The Who?
Yes. Do you know...
He's trying to troll me.
Do you know, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back that
no
one.
More, no more,
no more! No more, no more!
Do you know that one?
No.
Well, wasn't there one by... Didn't Manfred Mann?
I'd rather Jack.
Then that flip... No, Manfred Mann did a song with,
Grocer Jack. Grocer Jack.
Grocer Jack's not Manfred Mann, but that's definitely a song worth doing. Anyway, we're going off on a tangent. I'll see if I can think of it. Jack, what can we do for you on this grooviest of Fridays?
I've had a really, really bad week.
Uh-oh, what's happened? Come on, talk to me.
My friend is, he's suicidal and...
Uh-oh. Ooh,
I just don't know what to do anymore.
Have you told your parents about it?
Yes.
Okay. And have they done anything?
Yes, but I don't feel like I've done enough.
Okay. Well, that's a really good point that puts you in. Have you talked to your friend about it?
Yes, but he's ignoring my text messages and...
Right. Have you spoken to his parents?
I don't have the phone number.
Okay. Okay, here's what I would suggest you do. First of all, talk to your parents, and you've done that, which is great. I'd talk to your parents again and say, look, I know I've told you about this, but I really can't stop worrying about it. And I'd really like it if you could sit down and talk to me about ways I can stop worrying about it, all right? Because this is a big thing. This is a really big thing. So I would ask your parents for help. The second thing I would do is I would talk to your teacher about it.
Yeah.
I would talk to your teacher and say, I'm really worried about, let's call him Steve, I don't want to know his real name, really worried about Steve. This is what he's told me, and so I'm worried that Steve is going to hurt himself, but also what he's told me has really upset me, and I'm worried about how I'm going to deal with what he's told me, because now there's two people that we need to be concerned about. One is your mate Steve, and one is you, because that's a heavy thing for a young man such as yourself to carry and feel responsible for, when actually you're not responsible for him. You're not responsible for how he feels. Whatever he does, and I suspect he won't do anything, but whatever he does, it's not your responsibility. But I understand how and why it feels like it is your responsibility, because you're a good, caring young man, and you can't just shrug stuff like that off. You carry that stuff around.
Yeah, and what happened the other day at school is I got called an F and disabled. See you next.
A what?
I got called an F and disabled.
I'm guessing the throwing stars and the nunchuckers didn't work then.
Yeah. I did tell them that, and they told him and said, you did that, we could hurt you 10 times harder.
Here's the thing, man. And I can say this because I'm a 45-year-old bloke with hindsight and with age, and I care a lot less about what people say about me than I did, right? Anyone that picks on anyone for any kind of difference, whether that be a physical or a mental difference, or the way they look, or the way they speak, or the way they dress, or the way they smell, or any of those things, they ain't worth it, man. They are not worth it. You are already infinitely... How many of them are friends with a bloke who came third on I'm a Celebrity? How many of them?
Not many.
Who's the effing now then?
Them.
Exactly, Jack. Exactly. Listen, you got some things going on in your life that aren't great. All right, and that sets you apart from everyone. But those things that set you apart are also the things that are going to make you a great man one day. You've got to go through all of this rubbish, right? Excuse my language. You've got to go through all of this crap to come out the other side and become a great man. I can see in you, right, because we've been speaking for a while, I can see in you greatness. I can see greatness. You haven't discovered it yet, but you will discover it if you keep on going the way you're going.
Yeah.
You're going to be you're an amazing young man, right? You're an amazing boy. Let me patronise you a bit. You're an amazing boy. You're going to be an incredible man. I can't wait to meet the man that you become, Jack, in 10, 15 years' time. I know that's a lifetime away, man. I know it. But you're going to be incredible, right? And you've got things that are not great in your life, and you've got conditions and all these kind of things, but you've also got treasure in your life. You're a flipping radio star. People love you. I saw my mate Dan, Mugger Harris, tweeted you. He's one of the most talented people I've ever met, Mugger Harris. He's a brilliant artist, paints, makes films, he can do anything. And for have someone, I would love for him to say something as generous to me that he said to you. To have someone as talented and as great as Dan say what he said to you on Twitter, Jack, that's a gift, man. You're going in the right direction. You just got to keep it together.
Yeah.
You got this, man. You got this, right?
Yeah.
Try not... Try... I'm not even going to say that, because that's going to... I know how difficult that is. Get through tonight. You're tired. You need a good night's sleep. Listen to a bit of the show. We're going to have a laugh tonight, man. We're going to have a laugh. I guarantee it. We've got 2.5 hours and we're going to have a laugh.
And can I just say, you've done what you needed to do. You've told the right people. Your parents know so they can back you up, right? And
yeah.
And your friend is very lucky to have you.
Yeah. I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm just going to say, for everybody on Twitter who says that I'm an amazing person, I just want to tell them that...
Up yours! I just want to tell you, get lost, losers! Stop trolling me! Is that what you wanted to say?
No, I'm wanting to tell them that, well, for each person that says that I'm an amazing person, they're all amazing in their own special way.
This guy's wise, man. Honestly, you're wise beyond your years, Jack. You've got like an old man's soul in that young body, and it can only get better with age. Jack, I'm proud to know you, man.
All right.
You hang in there. Try and have a nice, relaxing weekend, and we'll speak next week.
All right.
Thank you, man. You take care. What a guy. I love Jack. What a guy. People speaking to my mate like that. I'm not having that. 0344 499 1000. John, Chris, Damo, Andrew. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm applying to be a partner on Twitch. I just got notification. I made all of the numbers, guys. Made the numbers. In the air, in the air, in the air. Loving it and loving it up. Loving it up when I'm going down. Joining in the harmonies there. That was good there. 0344 499 1000. Late night alternative. We're live. It's 7 minutes past 12 on a bank holiday Monday. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? 0344 499 1000. Andre?
Yeah.
You were going to be the first caller tonight, but someone else called in.
Why?
Why?
Good question.
Why? Ollie? Why?
Things kind of got a bit weird Friday, so I just wanted to make sure everything's okay.
Were you tripping on LSD? Because I was.
I am on medication that makes me a bit emotional.
Hey, no, listen, man, we're cool. We felt bad that we thought we were having classic bants.
Yeah.
And then we saw online that actually you were upset by what we said, so we were upset. But also, when I say we were upset because I kind of consider you as a friend. I know we don't know each other particularly well, but we play games online. So I was upset in that I was concerned for you. I'm not saying that in any way so that you then feel bad about us. That's not because you've got no reason to feel bad about us. Me and Kath are cool, and we're just glad to know that you're cool. And I hope you picked up. I don't know if you heard what we said on air, or if you turned the radio off like you're having a little hissy fit. I don't know. I'm joking. It's a joke. But if you didn't hear what we said on air, then I'm sure you will have seen what a lot of people were saying on Twitter, that there's a lot of love for you, man. And everything's cool. Everything's cool as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I don't know, really. It's like I was watching Captain Marvel that day. And,
great film.
It is a great film. I felt a bit tearful at the end for no reason.
Yeah, I know. It's a powerful film. I love Captain Marvel. One of my favourites in the whole Marvel. Can I ask, no spoilers, have you seen Endgame?
No, I'm going to see it Wednesday.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm reminded, literally another thing's popped into my head that I was actually not just disappointed about, I was angry about. And I want to talk to you about it, man, because I thought it was only okay with a lot of flaws in it, whereas Infinity War I thought was absolutely brilliant, with very few flaws in it.
Well, past Wednesday, for sure. I saw another film I've had it for ages. I didn't get it because of you, but I got Time Crimes, and I watched that on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, go on.
with the Hectors. I thought it was cool. Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Oh.
It was really.
You say that in the way that means you think you didn't think it was cool.
It was a bit predictable, but it was cool.
Predictable.
Whenever I don't know if we can do spoilers.
You can spoil a 20-year-old film, yeah.
Is it 20 years old? Wow.
Probably.
Every time it's a time thing, it's always the person.
Yeah,
it's always
yeah.
That person that it involves. It's always.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the mask, I was like, all right, that's him.
Yeah.
Right, so that's that guy. Okay, right. How does he get there? I'm still not quite sure why he puts the mask on, but yeah, you know. Okay, right, fine.
It's so that they can film him.
Yes.
And not have to, like, put some, like, fancy effect on.
There we go.
They
see,
can get someone else to stand in.
Here's a strange text that's just come in from Liam. I don't know if this is for me, Catherine, or for you.
Okay.
Struggling here, man. Gay man, mid-30s, single, and really want a child. Then here's the bit at the end. Sorry to pester. No one's pestered me to father a child with another gay man.
Oh, is that? I thought they wanted one of our children.
You could have the one that wasted up for 3 hours in the hospital today. Struggling here, man. Gay man, mid-30s, single, and really want a child. Sorry to pester. We're not making light of it, Liam. I don't know what this is in reference to. I don't know if this is directed at us. It's the sorry to pester is the thing. This is the first request so far. Is it now? What do you need? Do you need my seed? Do you need Catherine's womb? Is it something Ollie can help? I don't know. We need a bit more detail here, Liam, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. Well, maybe Time Crime doesn't stand the test of time, then.
No, it's really, it's good. It's worth watch, for sure, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
The other, I don't know, they're like, we're calling in.
Yeah.
Has been like me testing myself.
Yeah.
Because I've got anxiety issues.
Yeah.
And
anxiety tissues, did you say?
Issues. Come on, man.
So you said tissues. I just had to clarify. I didn't know what an anxiety tissue was. I can imagine. But, okay. Anxiety issues. Okay, okay.
And I thought I was mentally well. And I think Friday made me question that, really. That maybe because, like, I didn't know what the worst that could happen was by ringing.
Yeah.
And I had a panic attack, and I didn't. I don't know. It's been the last panic attack I had was doing like a blood test at home.
Yeah. What?
And I freaked. Yeah.
Home? Are you legally allowed to do a blood test at home?
What, on yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a little prick tick.
Oh, come on now, please. Come on, mate. Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm sure it was a lovely prick tick.
And a tiny amount of blood drops out, so you put in like a little cylinder.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it was like I was losing like a gallon of blood.
Yeah.
And I couldn't breathe. And similar thing happened on Friday when I was like reading tweets, and I knew it was a joke.
Yeah.
Because
a few other people, we were pretending that you were being transphobic or homophobic, whatever it was, I can't remember, everything phobic, and it was a joke. But then some friendly people on Twitter joined in on the joke, and what in your head you
thought they meant
you read it as real.
Because I knew it was all a joke, but then people confirming that it wasn't a joke, but jokingly, my head deal with that, so it just added and added and added, and then suddenly it was real. And suddenly I thought, okay, mate, people do think I'm a massive bigot, and something just switched and I couldn't turn it back off, and I couldn't breathe, and it was weird, and that panicked me more.
So,
and I couldn't get out of it.
How are you here's the most important question: how are you feeling now? I know we spoke over the weekend, but how are you feeling now?
A lot better. It took me a couple of days because I just felt on edge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot better.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad about that. Now, the next question is, how do we proceed? Because here's the thing. We said on Friday, we don't want anyone to feel worse when they put the phone down. So, there's a few things we can do here. One, we can ban you. I don't know how that would... I don't know if that would trigger if you'd have to buy more anxiety tissues. I don't know. We could ban you. An idea I came up with is that we could have a safe word.
Safe word.
Yeah.
And so if we're having, you know, fun, let's just say, and we'll be a little bit more careful with our fun, but if we're having fun, you could say...
Anaconda.
What? No, you can't have a safe word that's too many syllables because it could be too late. The fatal blow could have been dealt. Anaconda. Okay. That's five syllables.
I was just thinking it needs to be something that wouldn't come up in ordinary conversation. Yeah.
Well, I think anaconda words.
It would do. We're just
I would on this show.
Ollie is a big fan of the movie and the snake.
That's a terrible film.
So it's not. It's a great film.
No.
It's a great film.
Terrible movie.
Not in front of the children. So what safe word, if you think that's the route to go, Ollie, what safe word would work for you?
I think because Twitter put me in the mess, I think they can solve it and maybe they can come up with it.
You want to do like, what is this, local radio? He wants us to do that.
You know what those guys are like, though. They're saying, you know, they're terrible people.
We don't go, the phrase will be, I hate gays. right, hang on a minute. We're going to solve this. We have a very, very wise man.
Andre.
Okay, right, you saw through that. Andre.
Yeah, what would you like to know?
We need a safe word for Ollie.
A safe word, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm
going to regret
honestly.
This. Sorry?
Honesty. H-O-N-E-S-T-Y.
That's how you spell it, is it? Okay.
Because we're not going to use that in everyday conversation.
Right. I know one.
All right, then. Safe haven.
Do you know
H-A-V-E-N.
Right. Don't just spell them. It's not a spelling bee. Do you know
You can't hear me, can you?
Do you know what a safe word means?
Yes, yeah, safe.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Chill out room.
he's gone from safe room to chill out room.
I think he's just trying to find words that sound safe.
While I'm on,
yeah.
Cass.
Yeah, I'm good.
Go on.
Cass.
What?
Did you interview me?
No, why?
Oh, that's not...
I can give you a good interview here. Well, not here.
Why does that sound threatening and weird?
Well, it'd be good, it'd be fun, yeah? Over coffee.
Over an Irish coffee.
A big Irish coffee. No, it's just a normal coffee or something, Kath.
There could be something in that.
Call me a normal outside of office hours.
Okay.
And we'll arrange something, Kath, yeah? If you want to. You haven't got to, but if you want to.
That's very kind of you to give her the option.
Right,
to meet on what? Go to your house.
I've met Andre.
Can't come here.
Would you be alone with him?
I would be alone with Andre. I would trust Andre.
I know Ian.
Well,
I know you would, Ian.
You don't know.
Cass, we could meet in a
pub.
Halfway,
he was going to say pub.
No, I don't drink.
Let me think about it.
All right, sleep on it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll be doing that, Andre. She'll just be coming to interview you. Right. Hang on a minute, Ollie. Adam, have you got a safe word we could use for Ollie? Hello, Adam?
Oh, sorry.
Is that your name?
I didn't hear my name.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
All right. Have you got a safe word for Ollie?
A safe word for Ollie, a fellow anxiety sufferer.
So if it gets a little bit, if you know he's not enjoying the phone call, he can just lay this word out, and me and Kath instantly stop, and we will respect that. We will respect
that. Well, my go to replacement swear word is muffin, and I think that might work.
Muffin,
Yeah, it just sounds
muffin.
Just sounds right,
muffin or
me.
Mutton?
Muffin.
Definitely muffin.
Are you saying
blueberry chocolate?
Chocolate mutton. Mutton.
Mutton. Yeah.
Muffin. Ollie, I think muffin could muffin. Ollie, I'm going to bully you now.
Oh, God.
No. And I know you've just had a panic attack this weekend. Trust me, I've met a psychologist.
Me too, Ollie.
Right. I'm going to bully you. As soon as it gets too much, know that this bullying comes from a place of love, all right? As soon as it gets too much, drop muffin, okay?
Drop muffin?
Drop muffin.
That's what he's trying to avoid doing.
Drop muffin. Right. Now this is just a fantasy scene, okay?
Yeah.
Right. Are you ready, Ollie?
I'm ready.
I'm going to bully you in 3, 2, 1. Ollie, you're a shit.
Oh.
Nobody wants to play Apex Legends with you.
That's getting close.
Because you are a lousy cheat. You're a terrible team player.
Yeah, that's true now.
You run off on your own and steal everything from all of the loot boxes.
I need double barrel.
And you are a racist, and I know this.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
Muffin.
There we go. All right, well done. And scene. Okay. Right now, that worked. That worked for me. Catherine, how did you feel?
I don't think how I feel is important in this. I think it's all about how Ollie feels, right?
Okay, I think
Ollie.
We could talk about muffins, though. I love my muffin.
It does take muffins off the table.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no. Pick, no.
I won't
right.
talk about muttons.
Here's the thing. Muttons. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? We're going to employ this, and Ollie, we're going to name this as the Ollie Breaker, okay? So the safe word muffin applies to everybody. Every caller who feels.
Muffin talk.
We just. Well, I'm going to say it now.
Muffin talk's banned.
I'm just going to say it. We will not talk about actual muffins that you can eat or muffins the mule. We're not going to talk
Sorry,
about those.
Everyone.
They're banned. And I know it's supposed to be free speech, and we're banning those subjects.
And also, we won't be talking about anything you can put your muff in.
There we go. And we won't be talking about Martha and the Muffins from the band from the 80s, and I'm clever. So all muffin talk is banned. Muffin can only be used now as a safe word if anybody is not enjoying the classic gentle bants spilling forth from the minds and the mouths of Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle, the saviours of late night radio. And we're calling it the Ollie manoeuvre.
Uh-huh.
It's performing, you're performing an Ollie, which is actually a skating manoeuvre, a skateboarding manoeuvre. I'm cool. So the Ollie manoeuvre is when you drop a muffin in the conversation and we stop.
Would you mind if I dropped a muffin?
Oh, God, what do you mean?
Well, maybe sometimes I want to bail.
No. We are excluded from the Ollie manoeuvre.
Oh.
The hosts are not part of the OM.
Okay.
You can't perform an Ollie. You can't drop a muffin. Ollie, how do you... Now, is that going to make... And a serious question now. Is that going to make you more anxious having a manoeuvre named after you and also knowing that we can't talk about any other form of muffin because of your selfishness?
I think that's fine. I think that's good.
Good.
Adam's
loving it. Adam's loving the fact that you're mentally ill. This is brilliant. Adam is having the time of his life.
Well, I love the repetition of muffins.
You did this.
Ollie, stay there because let's hear what Adam has got to add to the conversation. Good evening, Adam.
Nothing about muffins, sir.
Good, well, we can't say it. Well, now we have to stop. No.
Shit.
Now we have to... Oh, sorry. Now we have to stop and see if you're all right. Are you okay? Do you wish to proceed?
No.
Because, so you... Hang on, I'm confused. Have you just pulled an Ollie?
No, I haven't.
That was okay. An accidental OM.
Okay, well, you can't say the M word, then.
I'm sorry. I didn't...
The M word.
The M word.
He said the M word.
The M word.
You can't say the N word either.
Well, you can't.
We found another issue with this.
We could use the N word as this. We could use the M word as a safe word.
No.
Then we'd know because we never talk about that.
Oh no.
You dropped. Oh yes.
He's crying.
Imagine Ollie having your name associated so closely with the N word, and it's called doing an Ollie.
Muffin.
Oh my God, Mum! You've just done an Ollie.
He just did it. Move on.
Nah, you've just done an Ollie. You can't say that anymore.
No.
Right, Adam. So what have you called in about?
What have I called in about? I am quite a depressed person.
Is this going to be embarrassing for Ollie? Should I let him go?
I don't know.
I don't mind. I don't mind. I can go.
His mythology quite to the fullest extent.
Ollie, I'm going to let you go.
Cool.
Because Adam,
cool.
I felt, if I'm honest, Adam sounds like he's only hard work. And well, it's nice to speak to you, Ollie. And we'll speak to you later on. Bye bye. Right, Adam.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't know what you make me laugh so much. This is going to be a tough call. Go on.
Okay, great. So, essentially, I'm 21. Yeah. I've been working my first full, like, real job for about 2 years now. I'm autistic, so I went through school, had a massive problem making friends throughout that time. This job is, like, relevant to my autistic fixation, my point of passion, which is cars. And the entire office just despises me. And I'm at this point where, I don't know, I feel a bit hopeless. You know, I've been depressed for a very long time. and you go into somewhere and you think, okay, these are people I can talk to about the one thing I understand.
Yep.
And then that proves not to be the case.
How do you know they hate you?
I don't know how much I can divulge on the radio.
Oh, no, don't divulge anything. They'll get you in trouble or identify anything they want to.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Good thing going, yeah, that girl and me.
Oh, 03444991000. The gentleman, Sid Owen was singing. The gentleman who was doing the rap. Catherine, what do we know about that guy?
Chucky star.
Yep.
Big reggae star.
Big reggae star.
English born.
Yep.
Sent down for gun possession.
Hey, unlucky. 03444991000. Let's go to Andy. Good evening, Andy.
Good morning. How are you, Ian and Catherine?
I'm fine, Andy. I'd be a lot happier if you weren't on speakerphone.
I'm not. I'm in the bathroom at the moment. I'm going to try and move somewhere else. 1 second.
What are you doing in the bathroom at this
time
of night?
Please tell me you've got your trousers on.
Oh, God. Andy.
Oh, the trousers are on.
There we go. We can hear you. Are you in the bathroom so you don't wake everyone else in the house?
That's the one.
Okay.
That's the one. Yes, and won't be too happy.
Well, you can speak quietly. We can hear you.
Okay.
You can speak softly.
Basically, just phoning you and Catherine up to thank you. The past 2.5 years has been an absolute nightmare for me.
Oh, Andy, listen, if you're going to say something intimate, if you'd rather go and do it in the bathroom, then we can put up with the echo if you don't want your boy to hear you.
No, it's fine.
All right, if you're sure. I didn't realise it was going to... All right, go on, but as long as you're sure, go on.
I've just had a conviction overturned in the court. I can't go into too much detail of what's going on.
No.
I was wrongfully convicted of a very serious offence.
Yeah.
And for the past 2.5 years, it's been yourselves and my wife and my son who's got me through this.
Wow.
I have been sat in cells at night time and... I've been with razor blades, I've been with tablets and crap.
Yeah.
And you guys, because I haven't been able to call my wife and things like that, it's 7 o'clock at night time, but I've had you guys bringing a smile to my face.
God, blimey, this rubbish. Imagine, jeez, how desperate must one man be to this is the thing that keeps him going? I'm glad you didn't kill yourself, Andy.
Yeah, do you know, the thing that got me through, I'll be honest with you, what turned me onto your station was a guy next door said, if you think your life is shit, listen to this idiot.
Was this in jail?
This was in jail, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, God, Andy, thank you, man. I'm laughing for a good reason. That's brilliant. Yes. Whatever it takes.
Because I was listening to the radio, and I'd heard you, and you were talking, you were saying how you want to end it all and things like that.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes later, there was somebody on the phone, and you were on the phone to him for God knows how long, talking them down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that made me realise there's light at the end of the tunnel. So I ended up becoming a listener. I don't know if you know, but listeners are like prisoners that are trained to be Samaritans.
Well,
stop things like that.
So hang on a minute. So whenever I'm down, and someone says to me, "Look, there's a lot of people worse off than you," I can legitimately say, "No, there isn't. I'm the example that people who are near the bottom are given." Said, "Oh yeah, no, there's someone worse off than you." It's you, Ian. My God.
I'm sorry.
I'm joking, Andy. I'm laughing. Honestly, I'm taking it in good sport. That's very, very funny. And Catherine is going to tease me mercilessly about that. But everything.
I sincerely hope she does.
She does. She's a good mate. But the amount
of stick you give her, but she can give it back as much.
I don't give any stick. What are you talking about? I'm very polite. I treat her with the respect that she deserves as an employee of mine.
Outrageous.
So it's been overturned. So you are an innocent man.
That's right. But unfortunately, mud sticks.
Yeah, of course it does. No smoke without fire. Everyone knows that, unfortunately, and even though it's not true. So it must be a mixture of feelings. I would imagine there is some relief. There is some... I don't know what...
There's a lot of relief. There's trepidation. I've got to get my life back on track.
Yeah.
I've lost... I found out who my true friends are.
Yeah, of course you do.
I've lost so many friends from this. But what I'm looking forward to is once this new case is going to be over and done with,
yeah,
that person that put me in there, their face is going to be in the papers for exactly what they've done to me.
Okay, okay.
You were mentioning about... sorry about this.
It's all right, man. You're doing brilliantly, Andy. You're doing brilliantly.
A couple of days ago, well, a couple of weeks ago, should I say, I sat myself listening about a certain person that you knew who had false allegations made against them of a very similar nature.
Okay. I don't remember... I don't remember what I was talking about there. I don't remember what we did on yesterday's show. So I don't remember that. Okay. No, I'll have a little think through the memory banks on that, but...
This is going about 3-4 weeks ago now, so... Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It was hard then.
Has it been overturned for a while? Was it today? What was the score?
It got overturned on Thursday.
Wow, okay, so it's still fresh.
Yeah. I'm one of the lucky few. My wife has stopped with me throughout the whole thing.
Good, good.
Even when I was found guilty on the first time round.
Yeah.
My wife believed me. She knew it was, if I can say it, she knew it was bollocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then there you go. Oh. Then there you go.
That are listening, there is hope.
Yeah. You got the two most important people. You got your son. And you got your wife, and that's it. Anyone else around that is a bonus, but those are the two that matter the most, Andy. And I hope that you kind of, you know, I hope that things eventually, and I'm sure it'll take a while, but eventually work out for you, man. And that would make sense.
All right, okay.
That would make sense. What a world. What a world that we live in. 0344. This is why I like doing late night radio, because there is a special thing about, I think, particularly between sort of 11 and 2 o'clock. That for me, if we could do this show 11 till 2, I mean, it would be exhausting. But that for me is kind of the magical window of maybe 11 till 3 is the magical window of when people are alone. People are alone. And they could be lying in a bed next to someone. They could be in a house full of people. They could be in a prison. They could be driving a car or a lorry, or it could be anywhere. People are alone, man. You know, that is a dark time for a lot of people.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I used to listen to talk radio, the original talk radio. People like James Whale and Tommy Boyd. I was a worried kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't sleep. So I used to put my digital clock radio on, put it on for like 59 minutes or whatever it would go up to, and drift off to sleep listening to that. And it would just take me out of my own head a little bit, you know, so that I wasn't thinking about what was coming the next day, which often I was dreading.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a lonely caller?
Me. Hello?
Yeah, have you been on, caller?
No, I'm the sperm donor specialist.
Okay, that sounds rather unpleasant.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, there is. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll take this call, although I suspect it's the person phoning out for us. Hello? Okay. Let's go to Eduardo Suarez. Good evening, Eduardo. You're live on Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, this is all because my kids...
Yes, hello.
Hello. Yeah, hi. The thing is, I can't remember what I was going to say.
You literally phoned him 5 seconds ago.
Download different outlines. That was just a funny one, I thought.
Could you turn your speaker off?
I've been waiting for about 5 minutes or something.
That's not true. Could you turn your speaker off?
Yeah, sorry. Hang on 1 second.
Literally just flashed up on the screen. So the most he's been waiting 60 seconds.
Pardon?
Could you turn
your
speaker off?
Yeah, I've done it.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You haven't been waiting 5 minutes. That's not true.
I've been waiting ages.
I tell you what we'll do is I'm going to phone us up. I'm going to phone us up and we'll see how long it takes to get for it to start flashing on my screen. 0344 499 1000.
You're going to phone us up?
No.
What do you mean?
Shut up.
I don't know.
No, because that's not what I said. I'm going to phone me up, right? Just wait there. I click dial.
No, you said I'm so
please be quiet.
Thank you for calling Talk Radio. Calls are charged at your provider's national rate. Your call will be answered shortly. Thank you for holding.
Right, so you wait 10 seconds to get past that message and then you're on the switchboard. So you waited 10 seconds and you don't remember what you were going to say?
No, I did wait. No.
Hello?
I waited more than... hello?
Hello there.
Yes, hi.
Hi there. You waited 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes?
No, I waited... I can see what you're doing, and it's actually quite funny.
You actually can't see what we're...
Pardon?
Yes, hello? I don't think you can see what you're doing.
What am I doing?
You don't know!
Well, can you tell me then, please, if you do know?
No, I don't know.
Why not? Come on.
What? Right.
Are we actually having... We're having a real conversation.
It's not that real, and it's only because there are no other callers.
Oh, I thought it was some sort of automated machine. Am I actually speaking to you?
No, you're speaking to someone else, you absolute bell cheese.
Oh, my God. Bell cheese, bell end is better than bell cheese.
Okay, well, whatever you prefer putting in your mouth is entirely up to you. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I can't remember now, can I? Because,
okay, well...
Like somebody... No, Ian, wait, please.
Well,
please.
Get to an interesting part, because we've been talking for 5 minutes, and it's been dull.
But we've only been talking for 5 minutes because we were arguing about if we had been talking about if we had been talking for 5 minutes.
Wow, this is getting this is like Inception. This is Dickception.
I want to eat my own face.
Yes, man.
Can someone please say something intelligent?
Sorry, can I interrupt? Do you mind if I interrupt? Kat, is that Kath?
Yeah, I've been
here. Is that Kath?
Yeah, I've been here all night.
I'm not going to be rude or nasty or anything.
I wouldn't.
Is that Kath?
Yes.
Is that Kath?
Yes.
Kath and Ian, when I'm listening to the radio, when I hear the advert about...
We're not allowed to talk about the adverts, so move on to the next point, please.
OK, is Kath Switch?
Is she Switch?
Yes.
What does that mean? And it better not mean what I think it means.
No, it doesn't mean anything bad, Ian. Please don't think that.
Please.
No,
well, why don't you tell us what it means, then?
There's dimmer and switch.
Oh, right. No, I don't. I've not got any voiceovers in circulation at this point.
Oh, really?
I thought you
really
meant, like,
sound
subdom.
Like switch.
Okay, next point. That's what I thought it meant. That's what it means, switch, subdom. It means I can be both, and I'm switch.
Right.
That's what I was worried we were going to. Please, sir, what can we do for you? Apart from call you an ambulance. Call me an ambulance? What do you mean by that? Come on, don't be rude, Kat. Kat, help me. Right, what can we do for you? Hello? Eduardo? What are you doing?
live on air?
Oh,
yeah. Yes, mate, yes.
Okay, I need to think about what I want to speak with you about, and I'll call you back.
Okay, we look forward to that call with great anticipation.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Let me take this one. Let's see who this is. Hello, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hello there. My name is Les. I'm self-phoning for the first time listening to the show, and I must say, I think it's absolutely hilarious.
Well, it's not meant to be hilarious. This is supposed to be a serious political discussion show. I'm disappointed that you're finding it funny.
I really do. I think there's a lot of people on there really don't know too much about the situation, and really do need to do a little bit of research on what's actually going on in the world.
Exactly. What do you think is going on in the world?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, and I don't think a lot of people are sure, because I think we've been fed an absolute load of rubbish about what's been going on, and I think there's a lot of things that's not actually being discussed or talked about even now.
Well, what would you like to discuss or talk about? Bearing in mind, we have to be careful around politics because of elections, but what would you like to discuss or talk about that isn't being discussed or talked about because people don't know about it?
I think there's so much going on in the world, and I just wish that people would get together,
yep,
stop messing around and just get on with it.
Okay.
What's going on?
We're all very much losing patience by it. It's all affecting all of people trying to carry out our working days and our working lives.
What are you talking about, man?
There's so much of... Well, you know, there's stuff going on with local politics and stuff going on regarding Brexit. And
okay, well, we can say we can't talk about politics because there are elections and there are certain rules in place. Are there other things going on that we need to talk about?
Oh, geez, I mean, what else is going on in the world?
I don't know. You give me an example.
It's not being spoken about, apparently.
Give us an example of something that's not being spoken about, and we'll speak about it here on the MM, the mainstream media.
Well, I think these people that's protesting against climate change and all the issues regarding pollution that's tying themselves to rails and stuff like this. There's a lot more bigger issues in the world going on at this moment.
Hang on. There's a lot more bigger issues than the entire human race being wiped out because of climate change. Are there?
Well, let's face
it. Are there really?
Is there anything going to be done, like, right now?
Yes, there's loads that can be done.
After elections?
There's loads that can be done. I mean, we're not going to stop it completely, but we can slow it down so that our grandkids might stand a chance.
Well, yeah, I kind of get that, but do you not think we're just a little bit late in taking action on this? Do you not think that should have been done 5, 6,
you know what?
Years ago?
We might as well... You're right. We might as well fire up the... Let's get the old cars from the 70s. Let's get some two-star petrol in there. Let's get those plastic straws back. Come on, Mackie D's, sort it out. And let's do it. Let's just... I nearly swore then. Let's just screw the world up the jacksie.
Well, to be fair, I think it's already screwed as it is. I mean, I'm not officially that old. I'm middle-aged, and I see...
What are you, 46?
No, I'm not. I'm 38 years old.
Okay. You sound older.
And myself...
It's not a joke, you do. You sound very old.
I'm very mindful of wastage and stuff like this, and the person for me to say that, obviously.
Yes.
I am conscientious about the environment and its issues. But realistically, this all should have been addressed and sorted out years ago,
yep,
absolutely years ago,
yep,
and not people trying to take action on it now. Should have been done
cash in on
10,
it,
15, 20 years ago.
Yep. So we should just leave it?
I can't help but feel it, basically.
It's too late.
I don't think we should leave it, but do we not think that some of the damage has already been done?
Do
we think that some of the damage is already irreversible?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. But some of it isn't irreversible, so maybe we should focus on that.
Well, some of it isn't irreversible, and I think whatever people should do to try and help this planet out and make a difference.
So we agree.
A great idea. It's a great thing.
Beautiful. Well, okay, so you agree with the protesters? You know,
I agree with it. I just think they could have
well,
been
that was,
a different
that,
way
that, that
of doing
turned
it.
Around quickly.
It could have been a different time as they could have done it as well.
Oh, okay. They could have done it like maybe in like the summer holidays or something.
Well, hell, you get a lot more impact and a lot more people want to get around this summer holidays.
So you're for them now.
Make a point, that'd be the best way of doing it.
Okay. Is there anything else that's not being talked about that should be talked about? Because, listen, we are the mainstream media, but I'm happy. I just want to prove to people that we've not been handed a list of things, apart from politics, because there are elections and there are rules, that we've not been handed a list of things that we're not allowed to talk about. We can talk about anything. So now's your chance, brother. Preach!
I think I'm kind of good on where I'm coming from at the moment, fair. You know, I just want people to be more mindful of what they're doing to this world.
Okay.
For definitely. And I just want people to get their heads together and get it sorted out.
Okay.
Regardless of what's going on, just get it sorted out.
Sort it out.
About it.
Sort it out. Thank you very much indeed. Excellent call there.
Even though it's already too late, we should have done it.
Changed his tune very quickly, didn't he? Spun on a sixpence there. It's gone from, these people shouldn't be protesting to, well, I agree with them and we need to do something. Naz, stay there. Still no word from Eduardo Suarez, who was going to call us back. I guess he's not remembered what it was that he was wanting to talk about. That's fine. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I don't know what's going on tonight. I don't know. Hi, Ian. I can't call. We'll wake up my wife. Can you get David Icke in when his film comes out on the 4th of July? He was on Eamon's show very recently. We've had David Icke on the show, and I think that conversation's done. We did a nice interview with him. But thank you for the suggestion. Good evening, Naz.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm very, very confused.
Why is that?
Because the calls tonight have been nuts.
I know, I've been listening. How come you're so quiet, Dad?
Well, the last 15 minutes has been a little bit racy. I don't know. It was weird. When we drove in to work tonight, Catherine, did you notice how quiet it was? Now, yesterday, sure, bank holiday Monday, but bank holiday Tuesday? It was absolutely dead driving through London, Naz. I don't know what's going on.
Is that where you are, down London?
We're in that London, I'm afraid. Yeah, unfortunately.
I thought they were busy down there.
No, I thought we were proper busy, but it ain't. It's quiet. Maybe there's a big football match tonight. Maybe it's something to do with that.
Where are you, Naz?
In Halifax.
All right, nice.
What are you doing in the building society at this time of night? You're a bank robber. Yes, mate! Come on! Just a little joke. What can we do for you, Naz?
Nothing really. I'm just listening. I'm wondering why it's so quiet. Plus...
when people are phoning up to ask why there are no calls, you know that as a phone-in show, you are screwed.
That's a question to ask. I don't ring many times, but I always listen to you guys. But nice can I ask you a question?
You can ask anything you want, Naz. Go on.
What do you think, you know, like it's our Ramadan and it's our Eid, Christmas coming up. Do you know much about that?
I don't know a lot about it, but I know a little. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
Here we go. But what should I know? Tell me what I should know.
Like, we have two Christmases, like we say Eid, yeah? Two Eid.
Yeah.
The first one is we call it Nicky Eid, which is called Little Eid. And that one, we fast for 30 days.
Yeah. What's that about?
Then we celebrate have Eid.
Yeah.
Then after, I think it's about 2 months and 10 days, we have the next one. And the next one, there's no fasting, but people go to Mecca and, you know, do the main prayer.
Yeah.
And when that is called Hajj, when the Hajj is done.
And everyone has to go there at least once in their life.
They got to have intentions, yeah.
Otherwise, they're scum. They're scumbags.
That's it, yeah. They got to have intention, and if they can afford it, they're well and fit. There's no reason why they should not.
When did you go?
My time hasn't come yet.
Scum! So. Scum! Oh, you're not a believer!
My time hasn't come yet. At the moment, yeah, you could say that, but not a right word. Not a good word of choice.
Do you ever do, like, when it's the fasting?
Yeah.
Do you ever have, like, a sneaky finger of Twix or something in the day?
I can't do that. You'd rather not keep a fast month.
You can't? You don't have, like, a little, just, like, half a finger of Kit Kat?
To be truthful, at the moment, you know, because of my health, I'm not fasting. But back in the day, I did used to.
You don't have, like, if someone offered you, like, oh, I don't know, a hula hoop or like a Pringle or something. You wouldn't take like one Pringle.
Today was the first fast. And my daughter, and I said to her, she goes, I rang her up, I go, will you pick your younger sister from school and walk home? She goes, Dad, can we go to a shop on the way? I go, you're fasting, aren't you? She goes, yeah, yeah, I know, but I want to keep it for later. I go, hey, you.
Such a dad way of saying it. Hey, you. Hey, you're fasting, aren't you? Hey, you.
I mean, there's only 11 months difference between them, but the younger ones, you know.
Yeah.
But the older ones, she's, wherever she gets, she'll eat. She's not a chubby girl, but she likes the food.
You know what I mean? What is the fasting for? How, I'm assuming it's to bring you closer to God. How is it? How does that bring you closer to God?
No, it's not about bringing you closer to God. It's our prophet, peace be on him, upon him. He did the fast.
Oh.
We are doing what he did, you see.
Okay. And why did, if you don't mind me asking, because I don't really know a lot about it, why did he do the fast?
Truthful, I don't know much about it as well, but...
Right.
Shall I Google it?
Don't Google it.
Yeah, you can do, yeah. But the saying is, if I'm not wrong, I don't know.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm not asking to embarrass you. I know.
Google it, tell me as well.
Oh, I like you, Naz.
No, the only thing I know is that prophet, he fasted.
And fasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, Kath's now researching this. Could take some time. All scholars have spent centuries.
All right, here we go.
Researching this.
So,
there we go. Hang on, just stay with us, Naz. We'll have the answer for you.
Yeah, no problem, sir.
Right. It says why you're supposed to, but it doesn't say why it happened in the first place. I'll find out. Hang on, I'll look up.
All right. Well, Naz, we've spoken before, haven't we, Naz?
Just the once. I think you did that. I'm going through a bad patch, and you were doing that thing, weren't you? The card thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, the membership card.
No.
The tarot cards.
Tarot cards.
Yeah.
With it yourself.
Oh, yeah. Did I read your tarot cards?
Yes, you did, sir.
And did it come true?
It did. Every word what you said was true.
What did I say? Remind me what I said.
Basically, you told me to put my finger out of my ass and get on with it. Even if you get knocked down, get on with it.
And it worked?
It does, yeah.
I've got the gift.
I still need to put my finger all the way out of my ass.
Okay, well, I don't know what you're doing with it right up there. I mean, a little tip is enough, but a whole finger up there.
You know what? I mean, sorry for the choice of words.
You've got terrible language. Potty mouth.
No, I pick a few. Bad habits of you.
Shut!
Yeah, it's Tony's fault.
Shut up! Shut up, otherwise I'm going to start swearing in a way that only you and I will understand.
Oh, right. What about Kath there? That's a bit ignorant, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think, Kath?
Yeah, I think it's terrible. Terrible business, but I'm used to it.
Oh.
Now,
you two would make a good pair, you know. Swear down.
oh, it swears down.
I, a lot of years, you know, whoever comes on the show, all your other colleagues, you're the best one.
Oh, so, totally. Everyone else is lousy. You should hear the guy that's on after us. This guy called Paul Ross. Jeez. It's unlistenable.
Is it?
Yeah, it's terrible, man. You should listen to it after one and just see how good we are.
Oh, I do. I do. Sometimes when I'm out, when I've got no clue, I'll go jump in my car.
Yeah.
And I'll listen to you. At the moment, I'm in my car now.
Okay. You're not going anywhere. You're just sitting in the car listening to us.
Yeah, I've just come out in the car just to listen to you guys.
Oh, mate. You know you can listen to us on your phone.
Yeah, but thing is, my daughter, she's asleep next to me then.
Okay.
You get me?
I'll get you, man. Naz, you're a good man. I like talking to you, man. Give us a call again when we haven't got any calls.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Naz. I'll see you later on. Take care. I didn't see you there, Paul. Sorry, mate. I snuck in. How are you doing? You're right.
Not bad.
Let me quickly just say hello to this, Paul. And hello, Paul.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, Paul, listen. We haven't got time tonight, but are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay, but... I'd like to ask a sort of favour, if you like.
Our we've got a minute. Can you do it in 60 seconds?
Take as long as you like.
Yes, yes. can I have time when I come on your radio
to describe any meditation technique I know of.
Well, you wouldn't tell us the meditation technique yesterday.
Yeah, but I've changed my mind.
Oh. Give us a call tomorrow. You can have as long as you want.
Okay.
Take care, Paul. Bye-bye. Thank you, mate.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Let's go to Naz. Good evening, Naz.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
On top of the world, Naz. How's it going? Are you hungry?
I've already eaten today.
Okay. You have eaten,
right? At 8:53, you're allowed to eat.
Is that sunset?
Yeah, after sunset.
Okay, okay. You always sound so unsure about why you're not eating, but okay, that's fine, that's fine. So what did you have to? What did you have to eat?
No, say that again, sir.
Yes, madam. You always sound so unsure about why you're not eating. But what did you have to eat, sir?
I had two chapatis with the chicken curry.
Why, dirty boy?
I had a watermelon.
Whoa, refreshing!
Some samosas and some pakoras.
Oh.
Bloody hell, man. That's a lot of food.
You're living the dream.
Living the dream. I fancy a chapati with chicken curry.
No, but this chap who was on there a bit ago.
Yeah.
Talk about body parts. You can hear if you lose your outside ear.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because my brother, years ago, he lost his right ear at the factory, just the outside of it, and he could still hear.
How did he lose it? If you don't mind me asking.
He used to work at a spinning factory.
A spin factory.
You know where they used to spin wool.
Oh, spinning, right.
Okay, I think I know how this story's going to go. Yeah, go on.
Well, there were a lift going up. He was sending some stuff up of the next floor, that's it, the next
yes.
floor. And the lift snapped somehow. You know, one of them cargo ones.
Yeah.
Snapped, and it came coming down, and so instead of landing on his face, so he moved his head to one side.
Oof.
And he took his ear off.
Well, we're horrified, but I'm also thinking, is he also really, really lucky?
Very lucky.
Because you're saying that he could have, if he hadn't have whipped his head to one side, it'd have landed on his head.
Yeah, half his head, all his face would have gone, wouldn't it?
And literally, what? It just, so it was that close, it ripped his ear off, but nothing else.
Nothing else, believe it or not, just his ear, nothing else.
Flipping it. Right, listen, that's horrific, and I'm not making light of that at all. It sounds horrible for the poor bloke, but man alive, that is also, that is some kind of luck, man. That's how close that is. Flip, man.
Yeah, you're right. Very, very
Where is the ear now? I'm hoping it's in a jar filled with vinegar or alcohol.
No, the ear got very, very badly damaged. So, he's got no ear.
You didn't
what I'm talking about.
Didn't keep it.
About 32 years ago.
And can he hear as what? Well as, worse yeah. than, or better than before?
Perfect, just the way he was before.
Yeah, yeah.
He was bandaged up, obviously, in the hospital, whatever.
Yeah.
But he can hear perfect.
Oh, well.
He's got nothing there, even now.
Yeah.
He's got no ear.
Yeah.
But he can hear fine.
Flipping it, man. Isn't it? It's incredible. That's incredible. All right, nice one, Naz. Well, thank you. Have you got all your body parts, everything intact?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Personal question.
I like you, Naz. I like it when your name pops up on the screen. We always have a laugh, even if it's quite horrific. All right, man.
Listen, thank you very much, pal.
Take care, fella. Good night. I like Naz. I like him a lot. He's a good man. But... wow, so a lift came down at speed. So close. I mean, and all it did, not, it cut his ear off. That's. I mean, how thick is an ear? What was that? Not even a third of an inch out from your head, is it?
That's nothing. Very close, isn't it?
Isn't that incredible? Wow. It's a question we ask from time to time, but I always like it. What body parts have you lost?
Yeah, what bit's missing?
What bit is missing? I always like that. It's always fun to try and build a body. In fact, let's do that now. Let's build a body from missing body parts. So we've got Naz's brother's ear.
Have you got any bits missing?
shame. Shame is missing, so I'm shameless. No, what is missing?
Teeth?
No, well, I had a lot of teeth taken out. I've got a few teeth. No, I'm pretty much all. I think I'm pretty much all there. I've not had anything taken out from inside. You got anything missing?
No.
Okay. Well, let's try. We're going to try. Here we're going to do. We'll try and build a body from missing body parts, please. 0344-499-1000. Oh, we'll have Gatford's toe. Is it left or right?
And he lost a couple.
No, I think he only lost one, didn't he? The other one was looking a little bit dodgy bodsky. We'll put Gatford's toe down there. So we've got the extremities. We've got a toe and we've got an ear. Can we fill it? That's not a bad toe, that.
Can we get it to meet in the middle?
That's not a bad toe. We will take vasectomies.
Thyroids.
We will take thyroids. We will take circumcisions. We will take gender swaps. We will anything. Any body parts with amputations, accidents, anything. Can we make a body?
Oh, you can have some of my hair. I should have very long hair.
Okay, so what, round the pubis?
No.
What?
Well.
Okay, no. We're not having... Having a haircut doesn't count.
But I had long, swishy hair and now I don't.
Having a haircut doesn't count. Someone who...
Everyone needs hair.
No, but someone who's, like, shaved all their hair off. I'll give you that. We'll take that. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here's what we need to do, and I keep meaning to talk about this, we never got round to it. I was thinking, maybe one day next week, maybe Tuesday, if me and Kath and some of you listeners would like to help us on an idea I've had for a while. Would you like to join us protesting outside an abortion clinic? No, I'm joking. I've had this idea. Do you remember, I need to watch it again, that Radio Unnameable, which was about Bob Foss? Mm-hmm. Not Bob Foss, he's the choreographer. Bob Fosse.
No, it's Fosse.
Is it Bob Foss?
I think it is.
Radio Unnameable. It's a really good documentary, right? It's quite hard to track down, but it's about this old guy that worked on public radio in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And Bob Fass. He was a bit of dude in the 60s. He had Dylan on there. I think Lennon might have been on there. And he was involved. It was kind of an old hippie. And he would... Danny and Stefan, stay there. We'll come to you in a second. He would... lived in New York... broadcast in New York. It wasn't WFMU. It was kind of the other big New York public radio station. Public radio I find absolutely fascinating and I'm deeply envious of. And he would organise things like, I can't remember, it's a long time since I've seen the film, but there was like a bee-in at an airport he organised. But one of the things he organised was in a really crappy part of New York, when all of New York was quite lousy, that was filthy. And he said to on air, right, tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, I'm going to be at such and such a street with a load of bin bags and some gloves, and I'm going to try and clean up as much as I can of that street in the day. If anyone wants to join me, then come along and we'll do as much as we can. And like the next day, like 100 or 200 people. It's a long time since I've watched it. I'm going to watch it again. I might watch it this weekend, actually. In fact, I will watch it this weekend. Like a couple of hundred people rocked up, all hippies, and they spent the day cleaning this street. And at the end of it, it was immaculate. You know, it was all the junk had gone. They took it all away responsibly. They packed it all up. They took it away, disposed of it responsibly. And it was remarkable. And for some reason, this popped into my head recently. Can't think why. I know when I went for a walk about 3 months ago, I saw a sign on Coombe Hill, where I went for a really nice view up there, and there was a sign saying volunteers wanted every Thursday to come and clean up. I took a picture of it and I logged it in my head as a possible thing to do. But then I was thinking, well, we have some of the best listeners in the world. I mean, some of them are a-holes, as we heard with some of the callers earlier, but most of you are good people, right? Is there some way that we could organise a similar thing? And we've done fun things like tag. We still haven't done hide and seek. That's worth looking into. We've done fun things. We've done fun paid things. We've done fun free things like tag, and then we all went and had an ice cream. So is there a way of doing something that's actually useful? And maybe we put in a game of tag or, you know, maybe we do like a little reward at the end of it or something. We have a picnic or something. So I don't know. That's as far as I've got. Now, of course, part of the problem is we've not got a huge listenership and you're all scattered all across the country and all across the world. As you know, we had to call from Nashville yesterday. So it would be tricky to find somewhere we could all get to. So I'm not in any way suspecting we're going to get 100, 200 people rocking up. If we got 10 rocking up, I'd be pleased. So, OK, so we're going to get... If anyone turns up, maybe no one, it's going to be a small number of people. So we need to pick somewhere that's quite small. We can't say, for example, right, we're going to clean... I don't know, we're going to clean King's Cross Station. You know, we can't pick something huge. We've got to pick a small area that is would look better with a few hours of people putting stuff in black bin bags and...
Sweeping up and stuff.
Sweeping up and tidying up a little bit, whether that's a stream or whether that's a corner of a park. I don't know. That's as far as I've got with it, right? Now, if we do it, and I'm not saying we will... But if we do it, it will just be good to utilise the energy that this show creates, you know, to try and make our environment a little bit better, whatever that means. So if we do it, what do we need? We need to know where we're going to do it. We need to find a place and we need to find a time. That's it. That's what it is. We need to find a place and we need to find a time. Go. Over to you. Suggestions, I suppose. Suggestions of somewhere. I'm going to say not London. I'm going to say not London. Because, again, everything is London-centric. And I partly wonder how much impact it would have on London. Maybe that's dismissive of me. I don't know. So at the moment, I'm thinking not London. Part of me is thinking, well, maybe we could do something in Manchester. But actually, it's tricky because we're doing two shows. So I don't know. I'm just going to put it out there, dear listener. Phone in if you've got any thoughts on it. 0344 499 1000. Phone in if you've got any thoughts, or let it percolate in your brain and give us a call tomorrow, or give us a call next week, or tweet us in a couple of weeks, or we'll put this in the podcast as well, this bit, if you don't mind, Catherine.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Last hour of the show, Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle. We've got calls racked up already. This is Hop Joanna, give me hop Joanna till the morning come. Bouncy song, very bouncy song. It's about the horrors of apartheid. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Marilyn first. Then we've got Nigel. Then we've got Catherine. Good evening, Marilyn.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Marilyn. What can we do for you tonight?
I'm Catherine.
Hello.
I'm offering my womb and ovaries.
Okay, right. I'm not... Now,
there's a sentence I didn't think I'd be hearing today.
Oh, it's not the first time I've heard that. last time I was in a slightly more romantic setting. Now...
I don't know what you could do with them.
Well, we can make a hat. No. It's the thing, right? Because we're getting lots of internal organs, and I'm trying to draw the internal organs, and I'm realising I don't know what the inside of a human body...
Well, a womb looks like a triangle.
Right, do you know what I need to do? I'm just going to draw... I should have drawn the outline first. Hang on. Let me draw the outline, and then we'll just label things as we get them instead of trying to build... why have we got a pubic mound? All right. There's a fur... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's... Hang on a minute. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hang on. There we go. All right, now we're talking. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That person would not survive in the wild.
Right, so womb and ovaries. So I'm going to draw... So the ovaries are like the bits at the side, are they?
Yes.
They dangle down.
They dangle down. Like, they're sort of like internal ladies' testes.
That's exactly what they are.
And then the womb is like...
No, it's underneath.
Is it underneath?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. And that is Marilyn's womb and ovaries, not test, ovaries.
Yeah.
Beautiful. This is turning into someone hell of a... I can't remember who the kidney belonged to. Was it Stefan? Yes, it was, wasn't it? All right, groovy. All right, that's very kind of you to donate that.
Was it Danny's?
Well, it's no use to me anymore, is it?
Well, hang on. Have you had them removed?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I don't want people... What I don't want is people cutting bits of their bodies out...
Cutting bits out.
For this. Oh. We don't want that. We only want them if they've actually been...
They're very, very old. They've been out for years and years. One of them got took out when I was 21.
Oh, flipping.
Do you know what? You just reminded me of something.
Yeah, go on.
What?
My grandma, before she died, she got very poorly. She had gallstones, a gallbladder problem. Yep. And they were checking her out, and she said to my auntie, she said, you know, they were looking and they couldn't find my womb. And it turned out she'd had an operation years before, and I'm talking about like 1960s. And they'd given her a hysterectomy and she didn't know.
Yeah, I remember you said
so
that.
So she'd been walking about assuming she had a womb and she didn't.
Isn't that amazing?
And did she have a family?
Yeah, she did. It was after she'd had the children, but she'd had an operation, you know, in probably late 40s, and didn't realise they'd whipped it out.
I had my ovary took out when and it was about 1968 or something.
Yeah.
And they never told us they were going to do it. They just said they were going to examine us under anaesthetic.
I think it's a similar story, yeah.
Around and me ovary had gone. But then I hadn't had any children then.
Oh, gosh.
And,
so when you come round, Marilyn, and they say, yeah, well, we whipped all this out, how does one react to that news?
Well, I just said, well, what will I be able to have children? And he said, yes, I should be able to. And somebody said I would only have one sex.
Well, okay, right. So did you have kids?
Yeah, I got two boys.
There you go. You see, okay, but wow. So
well, I was pregnant 5 times, but I got two lovely lads out of it.
Well, I'm sorry that it didn't always work out, and I'm sorry you had to go through that, but you got the two boys, and you've contributed to this Frankenstein monster that we're creating. And
it just goes to show, though, how high-handed doctors used to be in those days.
Used to be.
They'd go and investigate and then just go, yes, take it out. She'll understand.
It was certainly different. I do think some doctors can still be, not quite like that, but still have, there's an arrogance about some doctors, I think. Mm. All right, Marilyn.
I don't think they would dare do that now.
No, I don't think they would. I think you could sue the ass off them. Literally, their ass would be removed as a way of recompense. But
you'd have to tell them first.
You'd have to tell them first. How's everything now, Marilyn? You're all right? You're happy? You're loving life?
I'm fine. I'm getting better by the minute.
Beautiful. That's all we can ask for. All right, listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Nice to talk to you. We'll speak to you soon.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Marilyn telling an horrific story, but in a beautiful human way. So thank you for that. It's nuts, isn't it? Absolutely nuts. So I'm slightly distracted because Mitch Benn on Twitter is reminding me of a show that I did 21 years ago in Edinburgh. He's in a conversation with someone and saying some very nice things about a show we did in Edinburgh. Me, Mitch Benn, Mackenzie Crook, and Zaren Gibson. Right, let's go to Nigel.
Hi, Ian and Catherine.
Wow,
hi.
Nigel sounds like he's fallen down a cave. You've got better equipment than we have here. I can't do reverb here.
It's a bit of echo, I think.
I like it. Keep it on.
Oh, hang on. Is that better? Hello, 1, 2.
Testies,
you know
1, 2, 3.
Stay in the working men's clubs. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, I was counting it and counting.
Sorry?
1, 2. And they used to tap the microphone, didn't they? They used to tap. Yeah, the old Wheels and Shunters on the TV.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah, the pies have arrived.
I don't remember it at the time, but I've seen it since.
Wheels and Shunters.
The tappers.
Wheel tappers.
Wheel tappers.
Oh, the Wheel Tappers.
I never watched it at the time, a bit before my time, but I saw a few of them maybe about 20 years ago.
Didn't it have all the old comedians on it, like, or the ones, the old comedians like Jimmy Jones and people?
I don't remember Jimmy. I remember Cannon and Ball being on there. I remember Roy Orbison being on there. That kind of ilk.
A lot of the old ones, but most of them are probably dead by now, aren't they? Because it's really, it was a long time ago. It was in the 60s, wasn't it?
Something like 60s, 70s, something like that. Yeah.
I forgot what I was going. My brother's listening at the moment. He asked me to go on the radio last night. He listens, my brother, we talk a lot more. Oh, by the way, someone's paid my phone bill. The motorbike shop's lent me the money to pay my phone bill so it doesn't get cut off.
So the motorbike shop, are they the ones selling the motorbike?
They're selling my motorbike. They're going to take the money.
So they've given you a little advance. Okay, that's cool. Can I ask, you know when you go on the internet...
Yeah.
Do you do it through your mobile phone?
No, my laptop.
But how do you get internet in your house?
I've got one of those little square boxes. Oh, that okay.
Because your your mobile phone bill is very, very expensive, and
because I've been ringing 118 numbers before, and it just built up. You know, to find out people's numbers.
Yeah, I would suggest you go to use your laptop to do that. Just type it in.
Yeah. Because it costs about 10 or 20 quid each time you do that, doesn't it? Sometimes?
Yeah, it can. And then when you've done the 118, do you then ask them to connect you, or do you hang up and dial a number?
They do send you the number. They connect you, and then they send you the number.
So they connect you?
Yes, and they text you the number back as well.
Well, there's the answer to the question. You're right, that'll cost you about 20, 30 quid a time, mate.
Yeah.
If they're connecting you as well... Anymore.
Mm.
That's a ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well,
anyway, so I was lucky to get my friends in the motorbike shop to lend me the money.
That's great. Well, I think saving money on the phone bill would make a really big difference.
I've got a Barry Manilow song I'd like to sing that. I made it through the rain.
Oh, it's one of my favourites. I love that.
The karaoke machine I've got out at the moment.
Beautiful. Then let's do it.
So I some working men's clubs are interested in me if I can get the I've lost my confidence in front of an audience.
Yeah, well.
Because I haven't done that. I'm all right if I'm busking in the street where people are walking by.
Yeah.
But if it's in a closed building. But I heard Miley Cyrus say if she's in a closed space where people can see her face, she's nervous. But if she's on stage where they can't see her face, like, you know, if they're a long way off.
Yeah.
She's not nervous.
I heard a really good interview with Michael Ball where he talked about he had stage fright. Well, he was big star, and he had stage fright. Yeah. And he couldn't go on stage for years. So it happens.
But you know, the way you could think of it, Nigel, is people in that building are there to be entertained, whereas you're singing at people in the street who aren't necessarily interested. That's a braver thing to do.
Yeah, it is. But the thing is, I'm frightened. It's going to sound not good enough, but I know I'm good enough, but I haven't got that. I've lost my confidence a bit.
Because
you gotta
have faith.
Yeah.
I gotta have faith.
I know.
Let's have your song tonight, Nigel. Away you go.
All right, then. Yeah, I'll fire away. Here
fire
we go.
Away. It's a great song. I love this song. It's slower than I remember it.
Is he playing it?
We dreamers have our way of facing rainy days.
I think we're about two bars behind.
And somehow we survive. We keep the fearings warm.
We're back in here.
Protect them from the storm. Until our time arrives. Then one day the sun appears and we come shining through those lonely years. I made it through the rain. I kept my world protected. I made it through the rain. I kept my point of view. I made it through the rain. I found myself respected by the others who got rained on to and made it through and made it through. When friends are hard to find and life seems so unkind, sometimes you feel afraid. Just stay beyond the crowd, rise above the crowd, and start your own parade. But when I chased away my fears away, that's when I knew that I could finally stay.
You hear that?
Yeah.
I made it through the rain. I kept my world protected. I made it through
the rain. I kept my point of view. I made it through the rain. I kept my self-respecting for the others too. God rained on too. And made it through. I made it through.
Key change.
The rain.
No.
I kept myself protected.
Yes.
I made it through the rain.
I think Gary's supposed to get up off his stool.
Of I made it through the rain. I found myself respected, oh. But the others who got rained on through and made it through. I made it
through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I made it through. Thank you, Nigel!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
95% of the men who come to see me, they've never been anywhere near a trans girl before, and they're not gay. That's what they all tell me, every single one, and I know that the vast majority of them are not telling the truth.
Do you feel sorry for them?
No, because I know what I'm going to do to them.
Exciting times, because I have been talking on Twitter on and off for about, what, 6 months, do you think? Maybe more?
Yeah.
To a listener to the show who I find absolutely fascinating. And so I wanted you to meet her, and it's Rebecca.
Hello.
This is
Hello,
Rebecca. It's so nice to meet you.
It is. Lovely.
And at the same time, it's so strange to see a voice coming out of the face I recognise so much. It's really nice to put a voice to the face. So we're here with you at one of your places of work.
That's right, yes. I have two places of work. One which you might call a daylight place of work, and one that might be more of a twilight one. Mm. And this is the twilight one.
Because you said to me, OK, come and meet me here, it's a bit weird, and that's all you gave me. So, as we walked in, we met a manageress of what is a sort of meeting place, a club, and it has annexes for you.
Yes, it has a social club area, and then an annex that's perhaps a little bit more private. And this is where I like to work from.
Right. So, in case anyone hasn't guessed, your work... I mean, I'm looking around this workroom, and I can see... I mean, what would we call this? A hoist? I can see a pole. There are various kind of...
maybe it's restraints.
Restraints, OK.
Putting it.
That's the technical term. There's a little catwalk here as well. Yeah, you're not a fashion model, are you?
No, no.
Although, no. You could be. Oh, my God, I've never felt shorter.
Yes, when I'm when I've got these shoes on, I'm about 6'5".
Uh-huh. Wow. So tell me about Rebecca.
Rebecca is a very important part of me. I've got, I suppose you might put it as a male format and a female format. And Rebecca is me when I'm taking on that female image. So I'm a trans girl. I'm not full-time, although I don't necessarily disabuse anybody of that on Twitter. And I've got a very responsible professional job. And then I've also got a slightly more fun job as well.
When did you become Rebecca?
Well, that's kind of a can of worms, I think. I've always been like this. And I don't think I'm particularly different when I'm the man me and Rebecca me. I think it's the same person, it just the person looks different. But I'd say from very early in my life as a child, I think it started out manifesting itself as a tremendous fear of having anything that looks feminine on me. I remember I was going to a fancy dress party as a pirate, and my mum was trying to put me in earrings for that, and the horror at the thought of that, sort of opening that little trap door. So it took until I was probably in my late teens, early 20s, when I started to wonder whether actually this great fear was holding me back, and I should probably grab hold of this side of me and do something about it.
So up to that point where you kind of released Rebecca, were you living as a gay man or were you closeted?
Closeted. I wouldn't say I was a gay person now. I think I'm just... I like other humans. I often use the word humanoid on Twitter, which started as an affectation, as so many of the things I do start out as affectations. But I realised that it's just... That's what I'm into other people. It doesn't really matter what sex they are. It doesn't matter necessarily what they look like. I think it's just nice to make connections with other people. And that's what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you agreed to have a chat with me because, you know, I'm really conscious that how people perceive the way you live, right, has been hugely politicised, and there'll be people listening to this who cringe at everything I ask and possibly everything you answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to stress that at this point, I'm interested in talking to you about your experience, yeah. Rebecca, and when you're not speaking for anyone else.
Nope, I'm just speaking for me and answering for me. And like you said, it's very politicised at the moment. Makes you feel very sad. And I think the biggest problem with it is that everything needs to be a binary. You're either on one side or you're on another side. And I think that's the same with all kinds of politics at the moment. And I'm not on any side. I can see what's driving people on both sides of this debate about the nature of trans. And you can't really be in the middle, because then everybody, rather than empathises with you, throws things at you.
Because I know on Twitter you've sort of kicked back against people's concerns about the correct way to address you or the correct way to talk about trans women in general, and things that people have said in the past that now are deemed to be offensive, you don't necessarily have a problem with.
People can call me anything they want to, as long as it comes from a place of respect. If you were calling me something with the intention of hurting me, that's very different.
Mm.
It's not the language you're using, it's the hurt you're doing, you're intending, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea of policing language. I don't like the idea of people who are trying really hard to adapt and adjust to a new way of thinking and a new society around them, getting hauled over the coals for making mistakes that they had no idea they were about to make. So I think empathy goes a long way, and there's not enough of it about.
You've got a hell of a lot of patience, though, you must have.
I don't know. I don't tend to get a lot of negativity thrown at me. I think in the last few weeks, part of me's gone looking for it a bit,
right,
because of frustration with it all. I'm thinking, partly because it feels bad to be sat on the sidelines and not being able to put my point of view across. So I've done some slightly silly things of inveigling myself into conversations where I didn't have to be there, and that's when I've had some negativity at me. It'd be very easy for me to avoid it. I probably should more.
But then you're living a life where you're avoiding conversations that in some ways have to be had. I guess it's about choosing who it's worth having them with, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think, I mean, I've seen the way that you work on Twitter, and you could, if you so wished, really hurl yourself into all kinds of stuff that wouldn't get you very far and wouldn't make your life any more happy or positive, and you're able to not do that. So I think I probably should follow the same path.
And yet still sometimes I find myself in the middle of something I had no idea was happening, you know.
Mm.
And I know Twitter for what it is, and yet it can still be pretty hurtful sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's... If you simply open... open the window on Twitter, there's an infinity of awfulness in Twitter. But as I tweeted the other day, I'd had a day where I'd been chatting to you on Twitter, chatted to two or three other friends on there, and Twitter opening up the possibilities to talk to all of these people who you like and you admire. It's a wonderful thing, and people who call it a hell site, Lauren, I think you're missing something. Mm. It's like that for you.
You seem to run your stream on your own terms. You seem to own it, and you seem like a super confident woman on there. You know, I've seen some amazing pictures of you, and the conversations you have, the interactions I've seen have been largely positive. You've got like an army of fans, Rebecca. How did that happen?
It happened because I showed pictures of my bum, I think.
That'll do it.
I think there's that. But I try to be me there, so I don't want to just be a blank image that people are responding to. I want a bit of my personality in there. And I think a lot of... I try to do that. And it's the same when I'm in the male me. It's the same kind of personality coming out. But there's a little bit of artifice there. I've got a thing about Howard's Way, you will have seen.
I noticed. What is that thing?
That was... I liked Howard's Way in the 80s.
How old are you, may I ask?
I'm 43.
Right.
So I'm a year older than you, aren't I?
Yeah, we're a very similar age.
I quite liked Howard's Way.
Howard's Way was always Sunday night on my grand's.
Yes. Same with me, Sunday night, ready for school the next day. I thought it's quite a... There's something kind of bland about Howard's Way and kind of silly about it. Yeah. So it's a funny thing to talk about a bit. I think it's the right cultural thing to fit my personality. And then I can't let go of it now, and it's snowballed into me winning competitions with Howard's Way prizes.
Did you win?
I don't know. It's not arrived yet. I'm hoping it arrived today.
Please tell me it's like some sort of sweater, sweater.
A sweater would be wonderful. I think, a sweater would be... So anything acrylic.
Or a sailor's cap.
Even better.
I know that would be put to good use. It would be the cornerstone of a new outfit. Although I bet you have that outfit.
I can show you some outfits later. Howard's Way, it's artifice. But it's slightly more than that now, because I feel I have to delve right into it and immerse myself in this kind of silliness.
Do you find a lot of the interactions you have... I know you said that... and you have said in the past to me that, you know, the first sort of things that you were doing on Twitter were very sexualized. Do you find that a lot of the interactions you have now are beyond that, or is it still that at root?
That's an interesting question, because you just made me realize something. I think a lot of women certainly will have experienced people sending them pictures they don't particularly want to see of bits of male anatomy.
Mm-hmm. That's why my DMs are closed.
So mine are open, and I, like loads of people, have received a ton of them. I haven't had one for ages now. I think my Twitter feed has changed and turned that down a lot, the encouragement for that. So now generally I just get friendly messages. Well, every now and then I'll advertise when I've got a day of doing this particular job.
Yeah, I was going to say that I've noticed that, and it's done in a very kind of friendly way. It's not kind of, come on lads, let's have it. It's done in a, you know, your persona as Rebecca, and from what you're telling me, your persona generally is quite refined and quite gentle, and there's no need to be shouting about that.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think I've got quite nice pictures, and I've got a lot of followers, so anybody that wants to come see me knows where I am and knows who I am, I think. And also, it's probably worth noting all the people who have come to see me. I've never yet met anybody who wasn't very nice to me and a nice person to be around.
Yeah.
I've not seen any of the darkness that you might associate with this.
Yeah.
I've been trying to educate myself about a lot of things, and sex work is one of them, because I interviewed Caitlin Bailey, who does the Old Pro podcast, mm-hmm. and it's just, I found it fascinating. It started off as kind of a historical examination of sex work through, you know, through the ages, and but also because she's done sex work, and the Wendy that she used to work with has also done sex work in her time. It took away from the stereotype that a lot of people have, which is all sex workers are desperate, all sex workers are doing it because they're in an absolutely dire situation and they put themselves at terrible risk and they hate it. Well, I'm sure that that is the case in some cases, and Caitlin always talks about how crisis sex work is something quite different. You know, if you're in a situation where you are feeding a drug habit, or you know, you're in some sort of situation where you're having to feed someone else's drug habit, you'll make riskier decisions than you would if you are just living your life and you decide that actually, in her case, she said, I was working my ass off in Starbucks and I thought, there's more to life than this. And she felt more exploited when she was working in a coffee shop. People haven't opened their eyes properly to that yet, have they?
No. I have a little reticence to talk about it because I'm not a genetic woman and I think there might be slight differences in what I might experience from the people that come to visit me. But all the people I've met who work in this business are very much independent and doing it because they want to do it. I've never met anybody who I've felt, from what I could tell, was being exploited at all, and I'm certainly not being exploited in any way. I'm partly doing this because I'm getting... When you're a trans girl, an awful lot of being a trans girl can be about sex, and you're viewed as a sex object. And I was getting so many requests to meet up with people, and you go to various parties where this was all happening, and it just is the realisation that actually I could make a bit of money out of it, which has proved the case.
Do you think you're a very sexual person anyway?
No, I don't think I am now, because I don't. I have too much, so I don't think about it very much.
Right,
maybe less than I used to.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Here's the thing: the other day we were finishing the show, and Paul Ross, as he does, comes bounding in delightfully with something that he's been sent in the post. And he said, it's strange, it says it's for my daughters, but they've only sent one thing, because he's got several daughters. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you might as well have it, Kath, it'll stop them rowing. And he gave it to me, and it was like an exercise book and a pen and some badges. And it said, woman, adult human female. I thought, why would you need that on a badge? Unless it's something to do with this kind of turf side of feminism, which I don't ascribe to. So I googled it, and yeah, sure enough, it's this movement. And because one of the badges was something like "No men in our space," and I went, ah, right. Paul, of course, didn't realise, and I told him afterwards. I went, ah, oh, you know what this is? It's not a side of feminism I can ascribe to, and it's very loud at the moment. I thought we were getting to a place of acceptance until about sort of 5 years ago, where people could dress as exactly how they felt like and identify exactly how they wanted to, and we were getting there. It wasn't perfect, but there was more awareness being raised. And then this happened. Now, I'm supposed to be in that feminism gang. I'm not in that wing of it, no. So does that make me a bad feminist or a good feminist, or just a human being who's not made their mind up quite yet? No, I have made my mind up, and I'm not in that. That's not allowed, though, is it? There aren't any badges for that.
No, we've got no badges. I've just got my Howard's Way badge. just to reiterate, I'm just talking for me. And I think there's a lot of people out there who might say, well, you're not trans enough. You're not properly trans if you don't subscribe to certain views, etc.
Because I was asking you earlier on about whether you'd want to be Rebecca full-time. And you're not bothered.
No. I recognise what privileges I've got, and I'm happy to keep them. I don't have the same gender dysphoria that some people have, where there's something like a revulsion about their physical body, and then the male parts of it, or the female, if it's the opposite, trans female to male. I don't have that.
Well, because the conversation I thought we might end up having was, you know, would you want to be Rebecca full time? I am Rebecca full time. This is just clothes, but it doesn't quite feel that way.
No, I mean, I did say as well that it's the same me when I'm Rebecca and when I'm the boy me. It is the same me. I prefer to be like this and look like this. But I mean, I think there's some things. I'm not doing it now, but there's like a Rebecca voice I might put on. I might try to, but I know I can't keep it up. So every time I've called into the show, the two or three times I have, I might have started out with a different voice to how it ended. But I'm a human. I'm an individual human, and therefore I don't necessarily experience some of the things that some people do who have gender dysphoria. So I do not see myself as a woman. I see myself as either a boy or a trans woman, and that's sort of trans woman, all one word rather than two. And I'm quite happy with that. So I'm only speaking for myself. But the notion of women wanting to keep a safe space away from men is not something I want to mess with. I don't want to go into women's... I don't want to become a union officer for women's... A women's officer at a university. I don't want to go swimming in a women's only swimming pond or anything like that. I want to respect that difference.
If you're out for the night, which loo do you use?
This is the issue. It's an issue because of practicality. I do what I can to not have to go to the loo, to be honest.
Oh, really?
But if I have to, A, I'll try and find somewhere with unisex loo. And I think unisex loo feels like somebody's got this whole separate loo that they put a big sign up. But it's nice, a cafe often has a unisex loo because it's only got one loo. So I'll try and do that, and I'll know where those places are. But I will go in the ladies, which is selfish to some extent, simply because if I go in the men's, I think I'm going to cause more of a stir and cause more upset and anger and risk by doing that than if I went into the ladies. And I don't like that. I don't like the fact that I don't want to cause anybody any upset and distress. But it feels like the easy option.
And yet everyone's got a bloody opinion on it.
Yeah, and like you said, it's black or white. You have to have one set of opinions or another. And there's nothing in the middle.
And the other thing is that the way Twitter is, we're going back to this again, the sort of subject we started out on, the way Twitter is that people read the one sentence, two sentences you put out and make a judgment on your entire personality based on their interpretation of the order of those words.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I engage with people on Twitter who aren't necessarily trans themselves, there's this assumption that either I've had surgery or I'm going to have surgery.
Well, the term is pre-op, which suggests that everyone's going to have the op. Well, I know that's not the case.
And I know an op wouldn't change me inside. I think with some people who have the dysphoria, I think potentially it could be beneficial and change how they feel inside and their happiness. It wouldn't necessarily do for me.
Yeah. I mean, some people, for them, it's life or death. You know, there isn't a choice about this. It's a matter of becoming the person they already are, you know, outwardly. But, like you say, not everyone feels like that.
No. Just have the fact that I'm not really properly trans thrown at me from that side. I started out a while ago sort of trying to engage with people on the, you might call it the TERF side. I think it's quite a loaded word and I don't tend to use it. I think it's a...
TERF? What does it stand for? It
stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. Which you could argue logically is a good descriptor of some people, but it's used in an insulting way. So I can understand why people wouldn't want to have that badge. I try to talk to the people on that side to say, like, some of the things you're saying I agree with, but I don't know why you're being so nasty in the way you're saying it. It didn't really get me anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do it on the other side, talking to trans rights activists, which is the other acronym, the TRAs on the other side of it. And they just... I get called quisling or that kind of thing to say...
I've seen that. What does that mean?
Quisling is a Norwegian... head of the Norwegian Nazis. So in the Second World War, when the Germans invaded Norway, he was the person in charge of the country during that time. So his name has become a byword for being a traitor, basically.
In the meantime, there's no discussion then, is there? Get shut down by both sides. Which is why I get why you wouldn't want to get involved sometimes.
Mm. But then I feel guilt about it. There were three or four sort of notable voices on Twitter of trans people who were trying to say, look, I agree with the worries that women have about men, women-only spaces. And that feels like a middle ground, but they're treated entirely like they're on the opposite side to everybody else and vilified about it.
Here's one that was raised a couple of weeks ago, and it was talking about giving Caster Semenya as an example. Now, Caster Semenya is a woman, has lived all her life as a woman, and there's been speculation as to her genetic makeup for a long time, because she's very, very strong, and she's built kind of masculine. And then recently they did a DNA test on her, and they found that she does have, like, the chromosomes that mean that it's not quite as... biologically, she's more male than female, although this is a woman who's always been a woman and who feels like a woman. So it started this whole debate, and from some really kind of voices that you wouldn't expect. I know some people from within the sporting world, sporting heroines, saying that this is the thin end of the wedge, and what we're going to do, we're going to have trans women running against cis women, and that's not fair, it's going to spell the end of female sport. Now, I feel like that is probably some way off, but that is a real worry for some people.
I think for Caster Semenya, I think there's no question that she is a woman, genetic woman, and she's at one end of a sort of a spectrum of that. So I think it's horrible for her that she's thrust into one of this.
Yeah, and again, she didn't want to be the representative for this argument.
And I might be wrong, but I understand that test was done without even asking her. So she had a test taken, blood taken without knowing why, and then them telling her these results that she never asked for. So I feel very, very sorry for her. But it is an interesting point about sport, and a lot of what's talked about at the moment is, I suppose, more towards the amateur end of sport or teenage sport, where trans-identified there's the boys who are transitioning, whatever, or identifying as women, are winning sprint races by a country mile, and it feels very, very wrong to me. It feels like I can understand, again, there's nuance here, and the idea of trans women or trans men being excluded from participating in sport is not a good idea, and it's not something I like to think about. But the idea of girls being turned away from sport and turned off competing when we're in the middle of an obesity epidemic globally, and women and girls frequently drop sports midway through their teens, the thought of putting more risk on that happening, that's a bigger risk to me than stopping trans women competing in high-level sport.
So what's the answer? Because, you know, none of us like the idea of anyone being excluded. I say none of us. We don't. Do we have mixed sporting events where it's about your physicality rather than your gender?
I suppose with the Paralympics, they have categories to do with your a disability. I suppose you could have various sporting events where it is done on your body shape and body size, etc. And maybe we could do that in addition to having women's sport and men's sport. But I don't know the answer. It isn't an easy answer.
No, absolutely.
Which is why it's difficult to sit on the fence, which is what I tend to do.
Yeah, but it's difficult to get off the fence when the other sides are screaming at each other. Yeah.
If you have a very strong ideology about this, you can take a very strong point about it, and you can end up in quite absurd logical positions, if you ask me.
The lesson I'm learning as I get older, and there are still many lessons to learn, is that rather than talking about people, ask the people who are affected. I wonder if anyone's asked the people who are involved in this kind of sport, who have to deal with this conundrum. I wonder if anyone's asking them what they would rather.
If they're not doing, they really should do. And people should feel free to be able to say what they really think, which I think is a problem at the moment. I think people can't necessarily say what they want to.
Yeah. It's a shame, isn't it?
I think there's a little bit of Emperor's New Clothes going on, where people are too scared to say what they really feel about a lot of issues around trans nature.
But I guess the discussion is still a pretty new one, and we're still... And what tends to happen when an issue comes to light in the way that trans rights and trans issues have done, and they're becoming kind of more mainstream, albeit normally screamed from the pages of the Daily Mail as to, oh, my God, what's happening now? The world's about to end. I guess what happens is it's quite ham-fisted to start with.
Yeah.
And people imagine the worst-case scenarios.
I think it's ham-fisted, and I think a lot of people are hypersensitive to the ham-fisted nature of it as well. A lot of trans girls that I talk to, chat to in forums and things, the thought of being stopped in the street and having people say hello to you and asking you questions is absolute anathema. That'd be hideous for them. But for me, I'm quite happy with that. The last time I went over to Sawbridgeworth, which is just down the road from here, I stopped the car and I had a bit of a parking problem, wondering whether I was hanging over a driveway, and a woman was also doing the same, parking the other side of the driveway, and she had the same issue. We got out and she came up to chat about it, and about after 15 seconds she said, oh gosh, are you trans? And yes, I am trans. And then she wanted to give me a big hug and talk about how excited her mum would be to see me and meet me and chat to me, and how lovely it all was. And that, to me, was a lovely experience. Mm-hmm. Where I think to some people it would have been quite unnerving and frightening, and they didn't want anything to do with it.
Some people don't want to be the unicorn.
No, but I'm quite happy getting hugs off strangers on the street if they're being nice to me.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.